Let's go to London now and a look ahead to the international news this week with the BBC. Rob Hugh-Jones joins me. This week, meetings will be held in Britain to review the way the country recycles plastic. That follows an investigation by the BBC that found councils across the UK have nearly 40 different sets of rules for recycling plastic. What's the issue here, Rob?
Well, Lauren, something we can all relate to, whether a piece of plastic should go in the bin or in the recycling. Now, cities here in the UK are grappling with this issue like they are where you are, I'm sure. Manchester, for example, here in Britain, says they only want to recycle bottles, plastic bottles. Why? Because they regard that as valuable plastic, the sort of stuff that manufacturers want to reuse, so there's a market for it. But if you go to Reading, which is a town just west of London, they'll take far more plastics. They'll take margarine tubs, yogurt cups, as well as other plastic bottles.
So this is certainly a problem.
Well, it is, because clearly it's inconsistent across the country here in Britain. But also the public are very confused. So the BBC did a survey and it found that nearly half of the people we spoke to admitted to having a disagreement at home over whether a piece of plastic could be recycled. Listen to our environment reporter David Shookman.
In Bracknell, Sue Raymond is puzzling over which plastic items can be recycled.
They all look like plastic, but when you actually look at the back of each packet, so this first one...
What's this, celery?
Yeah. It says you can't currently recycle this type of plastic, and there's a symbol indicating that as well.
Now, would you assume that you could recycle it just by picking it up because it's plastic?
Yes, I would have assumed that.
So there you are, Lauren, confusion among the public about what you can recycle. And even if you know what you can recycle, will your local council or authority here in Britain actually do it for you?
Right. All right, so staying with health, India is unveiling a massive new national health plan on Tuesday. What's that about?
Yes, Lauren. Now, this has been dubbed Modi Care after the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, echoes, of course, there of Obamacare. This plan intends to offer health insurance to 500 million Indians, half a billion people, coverage of up to $8,000 for each family, with an annual premium of just $17, the rest to be paid by the state. Now, India currently spends a relatively small amount on health, 1% of its GDP on public health, compared to 7% in Canada or 8% in the US.
Huh. That sounds pretty amazing. There must be a lot of excitement.
Well, on the face of it, it does sound amazing, doesn't it? But of course, the devil is in the detail, as it so often is in these big healthcare projects. In trials at state level in India, people still spent a lot of money out of their own pockets because the state-run hospitals simply didn't have the right medical supplies. There are also questions about whether rural Indians, some of the poorest in the country, will even be able to get the healthcare promised them by the plan, as there are just no facilities to care for them in the countryside. So there's some big questions about the actual detail.
All right. And this week also sees the anniversary of a horrible crime in Mexico when 43 students were kidnapped and killed by a drug gang. Remind us of that story, Rob.
Lauren, I think quite a lot of your listeners will remember this, that 4 years ago, on Wednesday this week to be exact, 2014, in the southern Mexican state of Guerrero, 43 trainee teachers were traveling to the town of Iguala to protest against what they saw as discriminatory hiring practices for teachers. As they returned, they were confronted by municipal police who opened fire on the buses they were traveling in. The official government report into this in Mexico says the victims were handed over by corrupt police officers to members of local drugs gangs and then killed, their bodies burned. However, independent experts have cast doubt on that report, saying the chain of evidence was broken when the bone fragments were tested. They also said, by the way, that the government had hampered their investigation.
The case is a lasting outrage in Mexico. The incoming president, I know, will be visiting with families of the victims later this week, right?
That's right, Lauren. So the president-elect, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who's due to take power in December, will travel to Iguala and visit parents of the disappeared on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. By the way, he is known as AMLO, A-M-L-O, and during his run for the presidency, he campaigned for an end to corruption. Listen to Rafael Gómez from BBC Mundo.
AMLO, as he's known, has already asked experts from an independent body that investigated the disappearances until 2016 to return to Mexico. This was one of the main requests of the relatives of the victims.
So there you go. Independent investigators that he's just mentioned are expected to return to Mexico and to help a truth commission that was ordered to be set up by a Mexican court in June. So far, there have been 130 people arrested roughly in connection with the killings, but these big basic questions are still unanswered. The one thing to leave you on is, of course, Mexico had something like 25,000 murders last year. This is just one case among many, but of course has really hit a major nerve in the country over the past 4 years.
All right. That is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, thank you as always.
Thanks so much, Lauren.